Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Ball Not Court podcast host Cortez Paul, along with my co-host Kevin Carter. I want to thank you folks for tuning in today and listening to the show. Basically, we cover basketball, football, NCAA, or anything that's related to current events with a humorous twist to it, at least. You can follow the podcast at BIOC Podcast at X or Twitter. We're also on Instagram at the same name, BIOC Podcast. And you go to our YouTube channel. That's also BIOC Podcast. Our Facebook page is Balls Not Court Podcast. So if you could please just give us a like, shout, comment on any of those, and definitely subscribe to our YouTube channel. And we thank you for listening and enjoy the show. Balls Not Court Podcast. Thank you very much. Welcome to the Ball Not Court Podcast. Cortez Paul is here. Kevin Carter over Skype. I said Skype.
You said Skype.
Oh, back to what I thought we were doing audio. Kevin Carter and Paul Mack is with me on the video stream. Why did I say Skype? But anywho.
Yeah, you said good Skype. Evening.
Yeah. Good evening, gentlemen. How y'all doing today? Let's start with you, Mr. Mack. How you doing today, sir?
Doing great, my man. How are you doing today?
Doing pretty good, man. Just as I told y'all, I got back from Epcot and check out the Moana preview. They letting annual pass holders go check it out. Now I know Paul went. His girlfriend is a cast member, so got the preview. So now they're moving into the annual pass holders to go. And it was a pretty cool exhibit. Definitely enjoyed it. Think it's gonna be I just like when, you know, new stuff like this come out and I get to one of the purses that, hey, I'm next in line to go check it out. 1-2 crown on Wednesday, so it was definitely cool. Mr. Carter, how you doing this evening, sir?
Hold on. Now, you went and checked out the Moana thing. When you got done with it, did you tell them thank you, and then did they say you're welcome?
No.
Go, baby. Why not? That keep, you shouldn't keep, have said that?
Keep Dewey Johnson out of this podcast, man.
Hey, don't you dare speak foul of the Rock.
We all love Dewey. Dewey's great.
Oh, that's great, man. So, but yeah, man, it was cool, Kev. I definitely think you get down here, man. I'm sure you're pretty sure you'll check it out and hopefully you take the look, man, or he's not little anymore, but go check it out.
That motherfucker ain't been little for 3 years.
No, you're right. You're right. So
he walked up to Cortez and was like, hey, Cortez.
I'm pretty sure he's probably, he at least got to be my height now. So I'm pretty
sure he's over you. Guy. He's over you now.
Oh, he done passed me now?
Yeah. He already passed you. His voice is deeper than Jason's. yeah, he's good to go. Oh,
all right.
Proud father moment. So they're playing ball. I went down and watched them play. Their team's losing. But this kid kept talking shit to Austin, who he was blocking. And the kid kept going, yeah, scoreboard, yeah, scoreboard. And you know how you're blocking on one end, but you know the play's going the other way, so you kind of just push him out of the way and then let him go.
Right.
Well, Austin was doing that, and the kid kept talking shit. And he told Austin, scoreboard. So Austin looked at him and said, okay, let's see what happens the next play. Fucking Austin grabbed a hold of that kid and slung him. And he hits the ground. And then he went and stood over him like he dunked on his ass. Like, he just stood over the top of him, looked down at him, and then just kind of walked off. I said, there you go. I was into that. Boy. I said, that's how you're supposed to do that shit.
Nice. Austin stood over somebody? No. Yeah, that ain't him.
The video is on Facebook. If you look on Crystal's Facebook, I'll send it to you. But if you look on her Facebook, there's a video towards the end. And he legit throws the kid down and then just stands there and kind of looks and then just walked off.
Boy. That's great. Well, I'm proud of Austin. Good for him. Hey, football, run somebody over, hit somebody in the mouth. That's what it's all about. So I'm glad you had a proud father moment. And then that's cool to hear. It's telling me I'm a proud uncle hearing that.
What makes me real proud is he's out there playing with a broke finger. Like, he has a broke finger and he tweaked his knee during one of the other games. And I saw it. It was like one of those where your knee just buckles. Mm-hmm. So he's been dealing with that too, but he still went out there and played and is doing better now than he did when he first started. So yeah, that's why I'm proud of him the most, because he's out there playing with a broke finger. Like, what kid is going to be like, I broke my finger. Yeah, I'm still going to go play.
Hey, tough sign with gun for
real.
He got
that dog in him, Kevin. He got that dog in him.
He's got like 30 dogs in him if you've seen how big he is.
GMOs.
Good stuff.
Get 4 Great Danes in that bitch.
He's a big boy, man. He's a big boy. All right, let's get into it.
Paul, we ain't kidding. He's almost 6 foot. He's almost 6 foot and he weighs 200 and about, I'd say about 235.
Jesus.
And he's 13.
What are you feeding that kid?
Yeah.
It's a big boy.
Corn fed. I try to put him on a diet when his ass comes here. He don't even eat corn.
Nope. All meat with that boy.
No, he ain't.
All protein.
We want to eat.
Hey.
Exactly.
Nothing wrong with that.
That's a big boy.
All right. Let's get into it. And we're gonna actually start with some basketball news that happened today in the whole sports world. Big NBA trade. I know we've been hearing about Dame Lillard trade. He's been rumored to go to Miami. And pretty much there was another team that made an offer for him and a full trade went through. So Damian Lillard is now heading to the Milwaukee Bucks. And this is in exchange for the Portland Trailblazers get Drew Holiday, DeAndre Ayton, Tumani Kamara, and a 2029 unprotected first round draft pick. The Phoenix Suns also took his part of this trade as a third trade team. They get Yusuf Nurkic, Grayson Allen, Nasir Little, and Keon Johnson. So I'm going to start with our Heat fan that's on the podcast. And I know he was rumored to go to your team, Kev. So break this down. What have you here? What's your thoughts about? I know y'all was in the running for him for a little bit, but just give me your thoughts on the trade and what you think your Heat should do from here.
It is what it is. I thoroughly think they were never going to trade him to Miami. You could have offered him freaking Bam or Jimmy or whoever, and I still don't think he would have got traded to Miami. I think it was just part of the purpose of them just not wanting to do it. The trade itself, the winners were, to me, the winners just because of what they got and now how solid their team is in the back end is the Phoenix Suns. The Phoenix Suns, to me, are the real winners of all of this because – now, all of a sudden, the people that the Blazers got back, you got Ayton, who all of a sudden now is everybody's favorite center in the league. But last year, everybody was pissed off at him for some odd reason. But since he got traded and was part of a trade, now he's everybody's favorite again. I'm like, y'all make no sense. I was like, please make up your mind. Does he suck or is he great? Which one is it? Because he can't be both. So I'm like, okay, you got him, Drew Holiday, already back on the trade market because they're going to go with all these young guys. And then you got a few draft picks. I'm like, okay, so you wasted all this time just to do this trade, and you made Milwaukee better, and you made Phoenix better, but you made yourselves not better. So I don't know what's going on. But, hey, good on them. Dame got out of there. Dame goes to a team with stars on it. Milwaukee did what they wanted to do, which was appease their superstar and try to get him some help, as if he didn't have enough help with the same team that they went to the finals and actually won an NBA championship with not too long ago. Apparently, that's not enough help anymore. So, yeah, y'all have at it. Just try not to get your asses beat by the Heat in the first round of the playoffs again.
What's your thoughts? Do you want to ask somebody? I kind of mentioned to you about Buddy Hill, or are you looking at, do y'all want to get Jrue Holiday, try to trade back
for him? No, I don't want to trade shit to fucking Portland. Portland can kiss my natural white ass now. If that's the way you want to play shit, no. I don't fucking want that. No. Buddy Hill would be the only guy that I would be like, okay, cool, let's make a run at him and whatever. But if they run it back with the same team they got, that we got now, hopefully these young guys that we got in there, hopefully they improve upon it. Hopefully Tyler comes back healthy. If Duncan Robinson can even become half of the shooter he was before, like, and earn his fucking $90 million, then yeah, sure, just run it back with what you got. But as far as going after, no, I fucking ain't trading nobody to Portland. I'll give them a bag of freaking Skittles and some ramen noodles and a half drink 7-Up. That's the only thing I would give them bastards.
For sure. Paul, your thoughts about Damian Lillard and the trade and the trade war happening in the NBA world?
I mean, kudos to getting out of the market of Portland, Oregon, and going to Milwaukee, Wisconsin. When you could have went to Miami. I mean, it would have been cool seeing them on Heat, but
it's pronounced Milwaukee.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yes, Milwaukee.
Whatever. He's gonna get him a cheese plate or whatever. But
they don't even like rap. Sorry for Dame, but they don't even like rap music in freaking Wisconsin. So he's screwed.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, we'll get to see him on TV more, I guess, because we're on the East Coast. So Milwaukee gets a lot of games on TNT and whatnot. So it'll be cool to see someone like Dame, because he's one of those guys you never see him a lot. Like, you see what he does, you see the numbers he puts up, and dude's never on TV, or if he is, he's a 10:30 game, and I'm not staying up to watch that. So cool for him. It'd be interesting to see him in the Eastern Conference. Dude's probably gonna put up astronomical numbers in that offense with Giannis and all that stuff. But It's always funny when you see a guy who was so gung-ho about, I'm going to stay in Portland, win a title in Portland, and then he demands a trade and wants to leave. But
yeah,
the NBA is a weird game, man. You have to bundle up yourself with another superstar, and nobody was going to Portland, and Dame made a business decision, and we'll see what happens, I guess.
Yeah. Man, nobody was going to Portland because they didn't even try to get anybody to come to Portland.
Would you go to Portland?
No, but if you know you have that guy, just like what Milwaukee just did. If you know you have that guy and you have to appease that guy, guess what you do? You do everything in your power to help. You don't continuously get rid of stuff and then draft his replacement. You don't. When you were able to draft somebody to help him, you drafted a guy that's going to replace him. That's not how you treat a guy that's been there for 11 years and you didn't do anything for him. That's just it. It's just ass backwards. But hey, he got what he wanted. He got out of there. He went to one of the other places that he wanted to go to. Apparently, now that all this stuff is coming out, once he knew that the Heat deal was dead. His agent came out and said thanks to the Heat for trying everything possible to get him there. So he's trying to put all the onus on Portland for not working with him, which I don't think. I think there was a three-team deal involved there, and I think the other team was like, well, we're not getting enough back. And now Phoenix was able to get enough back to justify the means of letting people go and being the third team in it. So I think there was just a lot of hoopla and la-di-da pussyfooting around. And then people were just like, okay, we're tired of it. We don't feel like dealing with this shit anymore. But gotcha. I will tell you a name that's going to surprise you that I think the Heat are going to try to push some buttons on, and that's Ben Simmons.
Ben Simmons?
All right. Yep. I just think there's something. We all know how the Heat is with projects and trying to bring a guy back up and everything like that. And I just have one of them eerie senses that may be who they reach for. And he plays defense. He may not can when score he plays. Shit. Exactly. When he plays, but he does play defense. But that's one of those things to where he just it fits into what they kind of do there. So I wouldn't be surprised if that was one of the things that we see him do.
Gotcha. My thoughts on the trade. I think all teams did fairly well in the deal. You got Portland who got DeAndre Ayton. He's 26 years old. He fit their timeline of where they need to build at. Tamari Kamara is actually, he had a good summer league. So that's a good prospect that they pick up. Two first round picks, one of them being unprotected. So you got to really monitor that because in 2029, Damian Lillard's 34 right now. And we got to see how contract will be for Giannis. So that could sneaky be a good pick considering that it's unprotected. So
hell, we might not even be around in 2029 to see it all play out anyway.
For sure. But hey, access is there.
I'm old. I might croak before then.
I hope not, man. But as far as the Suns, I like what they did with Nurkic. Nurkic is a good asset. I know with Ayton, he was already disgruntled being there. He had a deal that he had signed up with the Indiana Pacers, and the Suns ended up matching it, which I thought was weird. But different coaches there now in Vogel, so they decided to go over Nurkic. He just got to stay healthy because Nurkic is a problem. He got a lot of injuries. Grayson Allen, another guy come off the bench, good shooting. Azir Little, good little small. Like he's probably a small four, power four, good size. Keon Johnson's a good prospect. Dane Lillard, you just got to take that chance because, as Kevin mentioned about Giannis, he was very vocal, more than usual, about like if Milwaukee don't put these pieces around, I got to explore my options. And usually Giannis ain't really that open like he has been in the past. So I just was kind of like, well, they putting the pressure on him. So seemed like they reach out to the agent, make sure they collab and seemed like that. Because Toronto was a team that I was trying to push for Damian Lillard. Miami was a team that I was trying to push for him. And there was another team that tried to push for him as well that I'm blanking on. But all in all, I think all teams in as well did pretty well in this trade. So I personally think that with the – I know the Tyler Hero's on in the deal that they was trying to center around. I would have wondered how they would have sent him to another team because Portland also got Shaedon Sharpe. They got all these plethora of guards. They got the – blanking on his name – Simons, Anthony Simons. He's another guard that they got – he's starting. So I think all in all, they did what was best for them. They kind of reached out, and I think it was the better deal that they had available. And it'd be interesting to see what happened. In Miami case, I think they should run that Buddy Hill. I was telling Kevin about that. This is a 40% career three-point shooter. He only missed 9 total games. That doesn't seem like he'll fit into the Heat culture with you guys because he don't really miss games like that. Put him next to Jimmy Butler might be feasible. Heck, I want my Magic to make a run at Buddy Hill, but I don't know. I just need to see our team one more year before we make a deal, just a semi-deal like that. I know there was some major writer talking about we should make a run at Drew Holiday. I'm not ready to make a move with that yet, even though Drew Holiday came out saying that he's thinking about retiring soon. So just a lot going on. But all in all, crazy day. Laughing at Heat fans. Kevin was the only cool-headed one with the Heat fan on there. But the rest of the Heat Nation on there was just in shambles. Their beat rival shambles. So I got a kick out of it. Twitter and S was hilarious today. And Heat fans was just on another one today. So, but, we'll see what happens. The NBA now, because that first domino fell, we'll see what happens. So now maybe some of these Buddy Hill trades come to fruition. Some of these other trades, we'll see what happened with Drew Holiday. Some of these other trades might come to fruition. It might knock down a domino finally. This was the main piece that was waiting to happen. So Very glad that it's over with now because I got sick of tired hearing where Dame's going to go. Now he's going to play with Giannis Antetokounmpo. And right now they're projected to win the East. So good squad. Should be fun to watch and see. The East is just going to be super competitive this year. So I'm excited to see where this goes. So Suns got better too. So it's going to be a fun NBA season coming up here on the 30 days. So, all right. So let's move forward and go into some football. I know that was just the breaking news that we had to get into. So NFL week 3. So crazy week. As you'll find out in the future about our picks that we had, Mr. Max broke that down. So he let us know that it's a little rough for everybody in the panel. But we're going to start off with the most impressive blowout from the AFC, a contender. So there's a few contenders that had a really good showing that week. And I like to say maybe it was out of the Bills, the Chiefs, and the Dolphins. So I'm going to start with Mr. Mack. Who had the most impressive blowout between the Bills and the Chiefs and the Dolphins?
Is that a serious question? Because it's the Miami Dolphins. That's a straight fact. That was bad from jump, and it just got worse. And the crazy thing was that they were pulling guys, and the score was still going up. So I don't know what was going on. Shout out to the two running backs had four touchdowns each. That was a whole thing. Tua threw for 300 yards again. Tyreek Hill went off from jump. I think I heard Rex Ryan say that was the worst defensive performance that he's seen in 60 years of being alive. So I don't know how that makes you feel, Cortez, but there was not a single sign of them stopping. And it was wild to watch. Like I literally had that game on and I didn't care. I don't care for Dolphin games, but I was potentially witnessing history. So I was just like, okay, I'm going to watch this unfold. And literally Miami just, I mean, you kind of hinted to it last week. You were saying that you wouldn't have spent money to go watch that game. And, you were on the other side of an ass whooping, but that would have been something to watch. That was some historic football that was had out there in Miami. So I'm going to say the Miami Dolphins, shout out Tua, shout out A-Chan, shout out Mostert, Tyreek Hill, all those guys. But Denver just... I don't know where they were or what happened, but that was tough to see.
Yeah. I got a whole segment going from Denver Broncos, but I'll save it. Kev, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Dropped up. All right. So most impressive blowout. You want to add to that as well, or?
Oh, all covered it.
All right, I'm going to be different. I'm going to go with the Buffalo Bills. The Buffalo Bills have five turnovers.
You don't want to admit that the hats whooping.
So they have four interceptions and one fumble. Stephon Diggs had a great game. And Bills' time possession was fantastic. So let's move on to the next topic. Because I got my time's coming about to go on the Broncos. So we'll save that. All right, so the Joe Burrow situation, guys, that's weird. Like, so the Bengals win 19-16 over the Rams. And, you know, so I guess I want to ask you two guys, what's your thought process? I think I asked y'all this last week, but now that I kind of see it on play, is it the fear of going 0-3 or is it Joe Burrow's injury and we know that he's playing well? But, Kev, what's your thought about that whole with Joe Burrow with the calf strain and then you barely edging out of the game? To get your first win of the season. So what's your thoughts process behind that about your franchise quarterback?
What did I say at the beginning of the year? I said when we were picking everything, I said they need to sit Joe for however long it takes for him to feel comfortable on that calf. And he don't feel comfortable at all on that calf, but they had to roll him out there because they thought they were going to go 0-3. And I don't agree with what they're doing. I don't agree that he played the first 2 weeks. Bringing him out for this week would have been fine if he didn't play the first 2 weeks. But you're rolling him out there. He don't look comfortable. He don't look like he's healthy at all. I just think they went about it the wrong way.
Paul, your thoughts on this situation?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough because obviously give him that big contract, and you know he's going to want to play. But I think investing that kind of money into a guy over that period of time, you gotta play it smart. I wouldn't have played him week one, maybe week two, but I wouldn't have started him in the beginning of the season. There's way too many weapons on that football team for them to be playing how they are. I mean, I think their defense had a big play, which is what won them that game the other night. But it's crazy to see, you know, Joe Burrow's got barely 500 yards, 563 yards, two touchdowns, two picks, and a QBR of 38.1, ranked 28th in the league. So, I mean, he's not playing great. I understand you can't go 0-3. You had to throw him out there. I know there was a whole bunch of stuff where they were going to sit him, and he was riding around in golf carts with management and different stuff, and he's going to try to give it a go, and they threw him out there. But that offense is not looking good. They got Ja'Marr Chase a little more involved this past game, which was nice to see, but it's you just don't want to risk him getting hurt, because like we saw with an Aaron Rodgers or anybody else, you're dealing with a calf strain, that can easily snowball into something bigger, and the last thing you want to do is jeopardize that guy's career. He's already playing in a tough conference. He's going to play against a bunch of tough defenses. He's going to take a lot of hits, and you got to do what's right for him. And sometimes you got to take the ego aside and be like, hey man, we're going to sit you down. We're going to get you good. We're going to play, because if you go down, the season goes down. So if he's playing and they're playing how they are and their season's kind of slowly dwindling away without a miraculous win, you know, on Monday night, what's the point? What are you playing for? You're just going to pretty much ruin your franchise quarterback. So I just want to see him be a little smarter with how they handle Joe Burrow, and just chill him out, and you know, tell Joe Cool to relax, and just I just don't want to see him get hurt, because he's one of the best quarterbacks the last few years. He's exciting. I get it. He has the swagger. He's a cool guy, but you don't want anything bad to happen to him, and risking a season that started off pretty bad and your trajectory right now isn't even upwards. You've kind of gotten back to baseline with that win on Monday night, so you're still not really going in the right direction. It'll be interesting to see, but I think they got Tennessee this week, so we'll see what happens.
And you're talking about a guy who previously had knee issues and has had injuries on his legs and all that. Just dang, man, just sitting for the first 3 weeks of the season, then figure out what you had. But they went about it completely ass backwards.
I completely agree with both of y'all. I thought they should have set him once again. And then it's the thing, if you're going to play him, protect your quarterback, protect your franchise player. They threw the ball 49 times and rushed 23 times to barely won by 3. How is that protecting your quarterback? You got to think, a calf strain. You got to place and plant your foot down to throw the football. And it's scary, man. You do that 49 times, that's risky. That's risky. The 23 rushing attempts, Joe Mixon rushed the ball 19 times. Trayvon Williams, one attempt. Joe Burrow had 3 rushing attempts. So in that part, it's just, listen, it's Joe Burrow is going to tell you he wants to play. All these athletes are very competitive. They're going to tell you they want to play. That's how we built like this. When we play sports, you got a little injury, you don't think it's as serious as it should be, and you still try to play through injury. Something is off with Joe Burrow. He's not himself. He just looks off. And you threw the ball 49 times to get a total of 260 yards that game. And threw one of those was an interception.
140 of those yards were to Ja'Marr Chase. So somebody needs to put an APB out for T. Higgins, because I don't know where that guy is, but that guy is non-existent for that offense.
Yeah, no, it's just – it's so frustrating, because Joe Burrow is one of those guys that can definitely be true. I just want his career to be hindered with a potential injury that can go serious, and then he's risking the missing possibly the whole next season. But I hope he's okay. I hope he's monitoring okay. I know he knows his body better than anybody else, and I'm just really making sure that he just be very cautious and try to protect your quarterback and not throw the ball almost 50 times there. And utilize another running back for just getting missing 19 attempts. You got to have another running back get like at least 10. So it's just, I'm just fearful of just throwing the ball 49 times with the capturing. So, but all right, we'll move on to the next question here. The most disappointing team in week 3. You got the Cowboys, the Jaguars, the Ravens.
I'm going to start with Paul. Cortez legit has started off this show just to piss me off. It's like, let's just start off by pissing Kevin off with the Damian Lillard stuff. Then let's go to talking about the damn Jaguars.
Hey, well, you can say for last because that's where we're going, how you assess your team performance. So no, I was gonna let Paul go first, and then I go second, and then we'll segue into assess your team performance, which I'm pretty sure Kevin will speak on. No, so.
Screw that. I am assessing my team's performance and telling them how shitty they did all in one segment.
Go for it, Kevin. Go for it.
It all sums up in one thing. You let a fucking fullback return a kickoff that he fumbled for a goddamn touchdown. That says enough right there. That's it. That says enough. That sums up that whole game. Fullback fumbles ball. You don't tackle fullback. Fat guy runs all the way 80-something yards for a kickoff return touchdown. He's still running right now as it is. He's still running, and Miami is still scoring. Those are two things that are still happening right now.
On the plus side, they gave the ball to your boy Tank Bigsby.
No, fuck that shit. There's only two people on that team that wanted to play. It was Trevor and it was freaking ETN. Those were the only two guys on there that showed up to play. Everybody else kept dropping the damn football and not knowing that the zero on your chest means not the zero out and not catch the ball. At least just please catch the thing. It hit you in the zero. You can at least catch it when it hits your zero, for God's sake, Calvin Ridley.
Man. All right. Paul? That's hard to follow. I mean, man.
We've been praising the Jaguar defense for the last couple weeks. And shout out CJ Stroud. But For me, I want to say Baltimore, just because like I had high hopes for Baltimore, and they got tore up a little bit by Gardner Minshew, and that's alarming. I believe Kevin said last week that Gardner Minshew sucks.
He does. You know who sucks worse? The guy who beat the fucking Cowboys.
Hey, he's a rocket scientist. You leave him alone.
Yeah, but he still sucks.
That's fine.
How much he sucks. They didn't even have his jersey for sale, goddammit.
Yeah. I mean, I know Baltimore's got a few injuries at running back, and I know Odell Beckham's hurt again already, and they got a bunch of stuff going on, but Lamar Jackson's another guy you gave a contract to, and you got to see him come through and win those games, and you can't lose those games because a kicker went 4 for 4 from 50 plus yards. They got to show up better than that. I'm pretty sure we most of us picked Baltimore to win last week, and it's crazy that the Colts can come in with a backup quarterback and do something like that. I mean, Lamar Jackson, 22 of 31, 202, but no touchdowns, no picks. So, I mean, he was throwing a bunch of nothing exciting out of there. He also ran for 100 yards to touchdown. So, I mean, he was literally the entire offense for Baltimore. And it's just going to show that that's not going to be enough anymore. Like, he's not going to be able to do that kind of stuff. And someone's going to have to make a play. And I'm pretty upset with Baltimore. I thought for sure that they were going to beat the Colts. And they really let me down. But I just want to be different because Kevin is really sad and mad. So I'm not going to do anything about Jacksonville.
Not sad. I am highly fucking disappointed.
Fair enough.
Not my teams. I'm highly disappointed in Cortez for starting this show off that way just to get me angry. He did it on purpose. He did this shit on purpose.
You gotta get the ratings going, man.
I don't give two shits about Dallas, so I'm kind of glad they lost, but it is what it is.
So I'm a add on and agree with the Ravens. This is a team that lost two fumbles. Lamar Jackson lost one, and Kenyan Drake lost one. Lamar Jackson was also a leading rusher. So this is a guy who ran for 101 yards, 14 out of 14 attempts. Got a touchdown on it. But I know we the last few years we've been admiring Lamar Jackson from the pocket, how much he has grown from the pocket when he is healthy. So for you to lead the team in rushing is also a problem. So turnovers and time possession is one of the things that you need to have under control. And they did not have that under control. So the time possession was fairly even. So you give a team like that a chance with turnovers and hold on to the game, Colts got a chance to win. But it is extremely disappointing because this is the chance for Baltimore to really take a grasp of the division. Cincinnati is battered up with their quarterback issues. Pittsburgh is still a few years away. They're still fairly young, trying to learn some stuff. And Cleveland is
pulling and tugging. They're pulling and tugging their way, trying to stay in it.
Right. Lost in the chug, but not for the whole season. He just, luckily with that devastating injury, it's only MCL. But they lose their workhorse.
I don't think they lost their whole chub, though, if you ask freaking Deshaun Watson.
So, needless to say, Baltimore has a good shot to win, have a great shot to win his division. And those are games you just can't drop. So, the Colts, rookie quarterback Anthony Richardson is out. And so this is the chance where you take us. Gardner Minshew's their backup, and this is a game that they should have won. So all these teams very disappointing. I'm not really trying to piss Kevin off. It's really the Jags. I expect the Jags to win that game too. So it was just disappointing to see that, to let the Texans beat you like that. But they're still a team that they're young and they're learning. So I mean, they'll be okay.
What it shows you about Baltimore. Because they're in a tough division, and it's as bad as some of those teams are overall. They always play tight games in the division. Everybody kind of scrambles and stuff like that. And then getting into later in the year, they seem like a team that's not that they struggle with time management, and they're not going to be able to win close games. And that's that's the only thing you got. That's the main thing, is getting into the later in the season, into the postseason. You can't control the clock. Because either you score too fast, or Lamar Jackson's running around all over the place, and you're in a situation where you may have turnovers. They got fumble issues. He could throw a pick at any time. He's kind of one of those things. He's one of those high risk, high reward kind of guys. And if you're losing close games like that to the Colts, I don't want to see you in come January in the postseason, and you have to make a play or make a drive to win a football game. Because right now, that's alarming, because you want them to be able to control the clock, play defense, run the ball, all that kind of stuff. But if Lamar Jackson's your number one rusher, it's going to be bad for Baltimore until they can figure it out. I know the injuries at running back are pretty big. So hopefully they can find a running back. But that's my only real concern about Baltimore, is they're going to play a lot of close games, and they're going to lose a lot of close games because Lamar Jackson's all they got.
For sure.
And here's my thing with the Jags. They ate their ice cream before they even got the appetizer, which means they bought into all this hype and all this stuff that was said about them in the beginning of the year. And as a young football team, when you hear how good you are and all this shit, it starts getting to your head, and you start to think that you're ahead of where you should be. They're not there yet. And it's just buying into your own hype is something that you can't do, especially early in the football season. You have to earn your hype early in the football season. And they have yet to do it because they have struggled through everything. So what they need to do is they need to learn how to... But the thing on offense is you need to learn how to go back to how you were playing last year when you didn't have what everybody considers as an alpha wide receiver. Last year, the ball was spread around between Evan Ingram, Christian Kirk, Zay Jones, ETN would get the ball. Now it kind of seems like they always are trying to force the ball, especially early in the game, and get the ball into Calvin Ridley's hands, even if he don't catch it. But they need to go back to going where there was no alpha dog except Trevor Lawrence in that offense. And that they didn't need that number one guy to be that good of a football team. And if they can adjust and get back to where they were that end of last year run, they'll be okay. But they have to not listen to what everybody is saying from the outside and just go be how you were at the end of that year. Stop trying to be the hunted. Go back to being the hunters. Don't be that hunted team, because right now you're not. So go back to being the hunters and go back to trying to glide it in under the radar.
Fair enough.
With that being said, though, Kev, do you want to see Doug Peterson get back to calling the plays? Or
good God,
Press
yes.
Taylor? Or what do you want to do?
No, because right now they're pressing too much. Pun is intended. They're pressing way too damn much. It's like you saw the first half, you saw it go a certain way, and then the second half, stuff switched around. They started to spread the ball out more. They started to give the ball to guys that should be getting the ball. And it looked like last year did. What they need to do, I don't give a damn who calls the plays. Just get it back to where it was looking like what the hell it did last year. Don't try to think just because you've got this number one guy that you need to try to get him the ball constantly. Because right now he's not playing like a number one guy. Adjust him in appropriately to what you've got around it and don't change shit just for the fact that you think you've got this alpha dog on the receiver thing. Because right now, he is not playing like it.
All right. Good to hear. All right. So let's transition into assets and not team performance. Kevin, you already kind of really covered your team.
Yeah, right there. That was it.
So, Paul, you can go ahead and cover your team. What's your thoughts?
I mean, what I thought was going to happen happened. I mean, the Giants blew their load coming back on the Cardinals, you know, on Sunday, and then having to fly.
Hold
to
on,
San Francisco.
Paul. Hold on. Wait a minute. Breaking news. There's breaking news that's happening right now. Miami just scored again.
Oh. Well, you know, so I'm pretty sure everybody's been interested to win that game. You know, it is what it is. I mean, that was a tough ask to come back from, you know, 28-0 to then go out to San Francisco and play potentially the best team in the NFC. They had a couple good drives early, couldn't really capitalize. No Saquon Barkley. You know, it is what it is. But we'll see what happens this week. I'm not too worried about it. I mean, the Giants are about where I thought they'd be. And, you know, the expectations weren't super high. Just kind of do what they did last year. I just want to see them be in games. They were in that game early on for the most part through halftime. But it was exactly what that was going to happen. So, you know, hats off to San Francisco, Brock Purdy and Christian McCaffrey and Debo. Them guys did their thing, but, you know, I'd be interested to hear what you got to say about the Denver Broncos. So go ahead.
All right.
Hold on. It happened again.
All right, guys. I know y'all been waiting. So just give me my 5 minutes
of clear,
no interruption about my Denver Broncos. So
you have 70 seconds.
So Denver Broncos come into Miami Dolphins, and I was very vocal about the podcast that I didn't want to go to this game because I fear for the worst about this game, and I just didn't have a good feeling about it. Once the season started, they had the Raiders win by one. Then they went ahead and turned around next week, and they played the Washington Commanders, was up 21-3, blew the game out. They had a good going into the halftime. They turn around and blew the game and had some lucky Hail Mary to make the game look respectable, 35-33. So we walk into Hard Rock Stadium down in Fort Lauderdale. It's not in Miami, Fort Lauderdale. And this is the Denver Broncos team that, you know, I was very vocal about Vance Joseph being back. I thought it was weird to come back to a team that let you go and as a defense coordinator. And just a lot of noise about him coming back to the team. So hence watch the game, start listening to the game, it's work. Okay, let's listen to it. Within a minute and 30 seconds, they score their first touchdown. I'm already said, oh, seemed like it's about to start. So come to realize they go into halftime and it's pretty much up by 3 touchdowns. I went ahead and just turned the game off. I still get my alerts. And I'm just surprised that I'm still getting alerts that they scoring touchdowns. This is a Denver Broncos team that gave up a total of 726 total yards, 376 passing, 350 rushing, 5 rushing touchdowns, 4 touchdowns passing. This is a Denver Broncos team that since 2015, they won the Super Bowl 50, have 44 wins and 73 losses. This is a defense that featured Pastor Tan II, Kareem Jackson, Randy Gregory, Justin Simmons, etc. Josie Joel. They have a top 10 defense. It was the top 10 defense last year, based on points total and just a few other statistics. They was basically a top 10 defense. And I felt very good about our defense more than our offense. I just felt like our defense was ahead of the game. To see what happened Sunday was just a damn travesty. It was horrible. Kareem Jackson at one point just watched somebody waltz to the end zone. Tyreek Hill is strutting to the end zone, hopping into the stanchions. Miami Dolphins is having a freaking party on our behalf. And Denver Broncos. There was a Broncos fan that was actually celebrating a Tyreek Hill damn touchdown. That's how I pissed off this game. This game just pissed me the fuck off. I don't usually cuss on a podcast, but this game was just horrible.
It was
horrible.
Holy shit. So
to sit here and watch this damn football team get 70 put on them from their former ball boy, from an intern, from a guy that interviewed for your coaching position, and you turn him down. He sent a message by not kicking the field goal. Not kicking the field goal. The Denver Broncos let this happen. It was just atrocious. And the football world is just laughing at us. Laughing at us. So this was pain. This was painful. And this is a reality that some changes needs to happen. And I know the players are being optimistic, saying, oh, this is just week 3. This is, you know, this still got a lot going on. But to have 7 points put on you in week 3 is just downright atrocious. So I'm disappointed in this football team. I'm disappointed in Sean Payton. Russell Wilson is not the problem, but I'm also disappointed in him. I'm disappointed in his defense. Pastor Tan, our ace. Tyreek Hill had 99 yards on you. This is our all-pro cornerback. Justin Simmons was hurt this game, so that shouldn't have been the reason of what happened there. So to sit here and see my team get just pounced like that, I was depressed. And I'm still love my Broncos. I want them to do well. I'm always going to root for these guys. But the fans are hurting right now. And it was just a damn shame that except for fans in our division was the ones that was everybody apologizing about the blowout. So my Broncos, you got an opportunity to do something next week. You got the Bears next week. And for the love of God, do not lose that game. Do not lose that game.
I find it crazy, too, that Russell Wilson played that whole game. Like, they were down 70-20, and that dude didn't take him out of the game. They just left him in there. And that's wild. That is wild to me.
Tyreek Hill came out after a game and said when he retired he wanted to be a porn star. I think he already is because he fucked up the Broncos secondary. Dude, that was – I felt bad watching it going, this. Thank God this happened, because not a lot of people are going to be focusing on the Jaguars letting a fat guy return a kickoff for a touchdown as the most embarrassing thing this weekend. But, dude, I felt pain.
That fat guy would have scored on Denver's defense, too. Don't get it wrong. Everybody was scoring on Denver's defense.
Dude, Tyreek Hill was stopping and then started running again. Like, he physically would stop in the middle of the field. The guy would run by him and then he'd start running again. I was like, this is ridiculous. This hurts my soul watching this game, because it was like watching. Oh, it was like hoping somebody turned off their Madden remote, their remote control during a Madden game, and was just like, yeah, I quit.
It was bad, man. It was bad.
The world now knows who Devon Achane is. That man. Definitely. That man let the world know.
Achane is the most picked up person on fantasy football right now as well.
I mean, I would imagine so.
Definitely. All right, we're back. So I guess I'm unfrozen. So anyway, I added that part out. Been a lot of issues here, but we'll get it figured out.
Now we can see your not confused face.
Thank you. I'm like, how is it still recording? It's still going, but nonetheless, it is what it is. Yeah,
we heard the whole thing. We just couldn't see your angry face.
We reaction. Beautiful. Yeah. The best part of that whole thing was you going, that was the most animated I've ever seen you get on the show. Kudos.
That happened from time to time. So, well, now I know it don't, but
that's the first time you went the fuck off. And can I say, like a proud father, I'm proud of you for that one. that one got me right here in the heart.
Definitely. Well, I'm happy that we do that there. All right, let's move on to our player of the week. Who's invited to the barbecue?
Okay, which Dolphins player are each one of us picking?
I'll let Kev go first. You go first, Kev.
I'll take Tyreek. Yeah, I'll take Tyreek.
Okay. Who you
no,
got,
no
Paul?
No reason? Just taking Tyreek Hill?
I'm taking Tyreek, because we're all taking Dolphins play. All of them can come to the barbecue.
All right. That's fair. I'm going to Travis Kelce to the barbecue so he can bring his special guest.
Oh, God, no. Don't you dare fucking say it.
Because she was in the news more than anybody in the league last week. Shout out Taylor Swift.
God damn it.
For getting introduced to life in the NFL.
Sitting up there
with Travis Kelce's mom, having a good time. She even dropped a let's fucking go.
Oh, God.
I think Travis Kelce jersey sales are up 400%.
400%.
400%. Taylor Swift's got over 200 million followers on Instagram and X, and the NFL only got about 20 million. So she's got 10 times the followers of the NFL. Huge win. Huge win for the NFL. Bringing the Swifties in there.
Travis Kelce is going to have the most bedazzled fucking jerseys out of anybody we've ever seen.
And the even funnier part of the whole situation is that the Eagles have a Kelce and a Swift.
Yes.
So it's beautiful to see. You love to see it. Shout out Tay Tay.
God, no.
I don't think she's going on tour till like November. So she'll be around for the next, 3-4 weeks.
Fuck.
We're going to get a whole bunch of Taylor Swift, hopefully. And once Travis Kelce breaks her heart, she'll have a new album for everybody to listen to. So Travis Kelce come to the barbecue if he can plus one.
Hopefully this ends swiftly.
All right. Who invites to my barbecue? Man, it's going to be a big tab. All you Dolphins, come on over here. Come over here. I got to get a slab of ribs. I got to put some whole chicken on the grill.
No, you
gotta
know what you got to do?
Beans, mac and cheese.
You got to get 70 slabs of ribs.
Hey, also, I'm gonna invite my friends and family who was very, I didn't really have too many that kind of like egged me on. They just apologized that I lost. So even the Dolphin fans that I knew just like, dude, I'm sorry. And like, y'all too, like, Cortez, I'm sorry. So I just got like a bunch of like apologies, like that I'm sorry from like the Dolphin fans that I know and even friends that I know, like, dude, I'm sorry. Like, I don't know how you feel. Like, I'm sorry. Like, so y'all invited to the barbecue too. Like, I got a lot of cooking I got to do because it could have been ultimate trolling. But I guess because I'm the guy that really don't talk much trash, you know, so I guess, and I know, and I'm aware of the Broncos, so I know they're not, I picked them to be a wild card this year, so I already know, like, that's their peak. So for me to be like, yeah, I already know what this is, but I didn't expect to be beat by 50 points, so I got a lot of cooking to do. So maybe Kevin's right, I get 7 slabs of ribs, so.
70 chickens, 70 slabs of ribs.
So I gotta show some love. I gotta show some love to those people, man. So next question. Who is our top 5 teams?
I bet this is way different than it was last week.
Yeah. My team, I go first. The Dolphins is first. Eagles. Eagles.
Oh, shocking.
Eagles second. Chiefs third. Bills fourth, 49ers are fifth. Paul.
All right. I'm going to put Miami one, San Fran two, just because Philly's still a little weird to me. They're putting up points, but they just start real slow. And I know someone's going to come along and hopefully hit them in the mouth real soon. So I'll go Miami one, 49ers two. I'll put Buffalo at three, Kansas City at four, and man. I'll put Detroit at five.
Ooh, nice. Detroit's showing. Mr. Carter.
I will put, I just want to be different. I'm going to put San Francisco number one. I'm impressed the fuck out by San Francisco. I'll put Miami number two. I'll put Kansas City number three. I will put Philadelphia number four. And yeah, whoever, number five. I'm not deep diving that much this week.
Got you.
Hold on. Right. I know who number five is. Who? Miami second string.
We'll move on to the next segment.
Sorry. Oh, no.
Yeah. Hey, we started this podcast pissing Kevin off, but exactly. Now he's going in.
Payback's a motherfucker.
Hang. All right. Paul, as you take over for the picks, I'll let you recap, and then I'll let you lead the segment. So,
all right,
turn it over to Paul Matt.
Let me get over here to week four. All right, cool. So, for week, we didn't recap week two, but for week two, Kevin was 7-9 in week two. Cortez and I were 10-9, and then Kevin comes Kevin comes in swinging week three with a 10-6 record. Cortez and I go 7-9. So currently for the season, Cortez and Kevin are both 26-22, and I'm 27-21. So what this shows me is this segment, don't take any of it seriously, because you might as well ask us for financial advice because we don't know anything.
Do not fucking bet as if we know what the fuck we are talking about. That's right. Because we know two things, Jack and shit.
That's right. So we're doing great. But hey, it's only week four. So we're in here week four. We're ready to roll. So Thursday night, September 28th, we got Detroit at Green Bay.
I'm going to Lions. Lions for me. You got Mr. Carter.
I will take Green Bay.
I'm going to go with Detroit. I'm interested to see Detroit kind of keep going in the upward trajectory they're going in. So I'll take Detroit. Mm-hmm. Next. Live on Disney Plus.
Yes.
Live from London, from Andy's Toy Box, from whatever the hell's going on. I don't even know. We got
Trevor Lawrence, what Toy Story character he wanted to be, and he said fucking Slinky Dog.
There we go. So we got Atlanta versus Jacksonville in Wembley Stadium, London, at 9:30 in the morning. Kev, you go first.
Look here, you sons of bitches. If I'm waking up at 9 o'clock in the morning to watch a fucking football game, you better fucking win, Jacksonville.
Jacksonville will bounce back.
Jacksonville in a bounce back. I am going to say, I'll take Jacksonville. They gotta. That's a must win for Jacksonville. They gotta
come on, Slinky Dog.
Oh, all right. Next, 1 o'clock, the Miami Dolphins versus the Buffalo Bills.
Oh shit!
Good game.
Where's it at?
At Buffalo.
I'm taking Buffalo.
I think Buffalo is going to surprise. Yeah, Buffalo is going to win this one. I go Buffalo.
I'm taking Miami. Too many weapons on Miami. That offense is just too explosive. It's literally a track team, and it's just throw them the ball and try to catch them. So I'm going to take Miami.
Okay.
I think Jalen Waddle is going to be returning here pretty soon as well.
He didn't even play.
They did that shit without Jalen Waddle. Mm.
That defense ridiculous. Was waddling off the field after that game.
It's okay. Ridiculous. They let a white boy go nuts, for God's sake.
All righty. The Denver Broncos.
Oh, shit.
Against Da Bears.
Oh.
1 p.m.
Oh, shit. Good Soldier Lord. Field. This should have been on Monday Night Football.
We lose this game, bro. We lose this game.
Oh, my God.
Broncos should win this game. Broncos should win this game. If they don't, man, I don't know, man. I really don't know. But Broncos should win this game. They should.
Oh man.
That game sucks, man. And I'm a fan of one of his team.
Oh,
it's horrible.
Oh God. I don't even know who to like.
They should call that a toilet bowl. It stinks.
It's like
flip a coin. Just flip a coin, Kev.
This one should be at Sid's house. If the other one's at Andrew's room, this game is so ugly, it should be at Sid's house with all them ugly toys. God. I'll take Denver.
Look at Paul. I'll take Chicago. I'll take Chicago at home.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
All right. Next.
I'm a fan of one of those teams, man.
Ravens at Browns.
I'll take the Ravens.
Ravens.
Yeah, I got Baltimore to bounce back. Yeah, that's fair. Cincinnati at Tennessee. We already know who Kevin's picking, so Cortez, go ahead.
I'm going to go with let me go ahead and pick the Bengals will win. Bengals will win. It's going to be an ugly game, but Bengals will win.
I'll take Tennessee just so we can try to spread these standings out a little bit. So I'll take Tennessee.
Hold on. Time out. Fuck the Titans. I'm taking the Bengals. I still get to say the shit just because you know it's coming doesn't mean I still don't get to say it.
Yeah, we need our weekly fuck Tennessee in here. So yeah, there you go.
Exactly.
Because where was the toothbrush invented, Kevin?
In Tennessee, because if it was invented anywhere else, it would be called the teeth brush.
There it is. Write that down. All right. Next 1 o'clock game, the Los Angeles Rams at Gardner Minshew and the Indianapolis Colts.
I'm gonna take the Rams. The Rams I'll say one thing about the Rams. The Rams have some of the best young weapons that you can't pronounce their names in the league. Like they got guys you can't even say their fucking names, but they're really fucking good.
It's like the receiver Skolden or something like that. It's a weird name.
It's like
the S.
It's crazy. And then you got a guy named Tutu, for God's sake.
Tutu.
Yeah, Tutu Atwell. And the other guy's name's like Puka or something like that. But them motherfuckers, they're good. They're really good young players.
Give me the Colts. Then the Colts win.
I'll take the Rams. I don't know if they're going to play Richardson or not, but I don't think Gardner Minshew can have two turnover free games. So I'm going to take the Rams in a close one.
I know for a fact he can't have two.
Next, the battle in the NFC South. We got Tampa Bay at New Orleans. I believe Derek Carr is hurt, so I think Jameis Winston will be the starting quarterback for New Orleans.
I'm going to take New Orleans. So Jameis could eat the W.
Let the Buccaneers come back down to earth. They're playing the tough Saints defense team at home. I got the Saints too.
I take Tampa in the rebound. I think Tampa will figure it out. I think Philly's just was a tough matchup for him. AJ Brown was all over the field last week. So I'm gonna take Tampa Bay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The Washington Commanders and at the Philadelphia Eagles.
Eagles
in a blowout.
Man, Eagles schedule's wild. I'll take Philly. All right. This is a great one. The Minnesota Vikings at Carolina Panthers.
No, fuck. Jeez. Christ. God. Damn it.
You don't like that game, Kev?
No, that's like it being, oh, God, no.
Kevin got his in. Somebody's going to say it. The Vikings stink.
Yeah.
The Vikings will win this game.
God almighty, no. Jesus.
The Vikings get their first win. Kirk Cousins actually been playing pretty well, though.
But Jesus.
He might get traded if they keep this. He might end up on the Jets.
Yeah, defense look good. The defense look suspect. I know about suspect defenses, but, you know. But, no, I got the Vikings winning.
No, yours wasn't a suspect. Yours was put in. That y'all's defense was put in like
witness protection?
Yeah, exactly, because they were totally different people. Yeah, they went into the witness. They went into the witness protection program. Yeah.
Dang.
Who you got, Kev?
Make your picks.
I guess I'll take fucking the Vikings. Jesus Christ.
Let's see. How bad was Carolina? How bad is Carolina?
Don't be different, Paul. Just pick
27. They put up 27 against. Last week, so they put up 27 on Seattle. I'm gonna go with Carolina. I'm gonna take Carolina just because the Vikings stink. That's it. They stink, and I just want to see them keep stinking. So, all right. Next, we got the last 1 o'clock game. We got Pittsburgh at Houston.
Oh God Almighty, Jesus! Fuck Houston too. Fucking Pittsburgh better kick their ass.
Texans at home. Texans get the win.
I'll take Pittsburgh.
Nah, damn right.
Houston peaked last week. That best they got.
They always do. The last like 8 years in a row. Guess who their first fucking win has been against? The Jaguars, of course.
Hey, CJ Stroud might be the real deal, man. That's how they look good.
CJ Stroud was the real deal because there was people running wide the fuck open.
Our first 4:05 game, the Las Vegas Jimmy Garoppolo's versus the Los Angeles Justin Herbert's.
Los Herbert's Chargers beat the Raiders. Chargers got to figure it out. They lose this game, man. That coach is in a lot of trouble.
I will take the Raiders.
I'm slowly adding the Raiders to that that teams that stink list because they fucking stink. Yeah, I'll take the Chargers. See if Keenan Allen can throw another touchdown pass.
Not the Mike Williams because he's done for a year.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Jimmy Garoppolo throws to the other team, so it's fine. New England at Dallas.
It's the game of the week on Fox.
Not at my house.
That's just because it's Dallas.
Not at my house. And
they bought that time slot.
Jerry Jones, Mr. Bucks. Cowboys will win this game. Matt Jones will do something dirty in this game as usual, so we'll see.
He'll kick somebody in the nuts this time instead of hitting somebody in the nuts.
Yeah. At least he wiped his hands off when he was done. He's a gentleman.
Should have wiped his hands off before hitting the guy in the nuts.
I mean, guy's name was Sauce, man. He just, yeah, whatever. little wet nap.
My God.
You mean he lubed beforehand? Oh, my God.
But I'll take fuck Dallas. I'm taking New England.
Man, fuck New England. I'm taking Dallas.
I'm just picking off sheer emotion this week. Fuck
there
Dallas.
You are.
There it is.
Balls
not core exclusive, baby. Hitting people on the balls.
The Arizona Cardinals and their rocket science quarterback against San Francisco 49ers and all the weapons that they have in San Francisco.
I will take San Francisco.
San Francisco win this game.
Yeah, they might score 49 points.
They might score 71
or 73.
Nah, I don't think so. I'm sure Josh Dobbs is doing some kind of calculations and he can figure out how to keep it under 70. He's smart.
Josh Dobbs don't play defense.
Yeah, but it'd be all right. And then the primetime game on NBC, 8:20 p.m., the Kansas City Chiefs versus the New York Jets.
What the fuck?
I'm telling you, missed opportunity. Should have put the Bears and Broncos there.
Did you hear what somebody told Zach Wilson? Zach, you need to start playing better. These tickets cost a lot of fucking money.
Tickets are as low as $64 right now. You can get a ticket for $64.
All right. Yeah, I'd go to see the Chiefs beat the shit out of them. Yeah, sure.
Joe Namath called out Zach Wilson sober. Imagine if he's drunk.
Oh.
You see that Jets fan whose teeth almost fell out yelling at Zach Wilson?
Look, man. Look. Zach Wilson is what he is. Terrible. You just have to fucking come to accept it, or the fucking team needs to go and do something about it.
Should have kept Mike White.
You're about to get semen all over your faces because they're going to play Trevor.
Listen, I'm going to say one good thing about Zach Wilson. He apparently hit his mom's milf step friend. So, like, she looked pretty good.
That's the only good thing he's done is fucked his mom's hot friend. That's it. That's the only good thing he's done. That's it.
Because he's only fucking the Jets now.
Exactly. And he's doing it raw. Like, no lube. No lube whatsoever. Sticking it in every hole he can. Because he's not. What do you say about the Vikings, Paul?
That they stink?
Yeah, he does that plus a few more things.
Zach Wilson, please find a way to beat the Chiefs. I know you won't be able to do it. The Chiefs end up winning the blowout. Unfortunately.
It's going to be a whole crowd full of Swifties in New York. Can't wait. Can't wait for it. I'm taking the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm riding the Taylor Swift train until it sinks.
They stay out too late. They got nothing in their brains.
They're fine.
At least that's what people say. That's what people say.
That's it. All right.
And nice. If the Chiefs somehow happen to lose, guess what they got to do?
Gotta
shake it off.
That's right.
Shake it off.
That's right. And then we're back to a single Monday night football game. I think it's because The Bachelor's back on ABC. So there you go.
The writer's strike is over with, so now we'll get fucking shows coming back.
Nah, they just threw a bunch of Chads on an island with a bunch of chicks and just call it a TV show. It's fine.
They didn't even write. They didn't even write for this one.
Yeah, just gonna see what happens. We got the Seattle Seahawks at the New York Giants.
Oh, Lordy. Good God.
Geno Smith coming back to MetLife Stadium.
Good God.
Oh, welcome back. Welcome back.
What is this? The singing songs break in it? We got Taylor Swift there, and now we got Welcome Back, Cotter.
Seahawks get the dub. I go Seahawks.
I'll take the New York football Giants.
I will take the Giants in a rebound and hope that nobody blows an ACL on that shitty football field.
Oh, God, yes. Terrible fucking football field.
Yes, it is. But yeah, that's the lineup right there, guys. So that's what we got. So we'll see what happens next week.
You know why everybody tears their legs up under there? Because Jimmy Hoffa's under there tripping everybody up. Fucking true. Yeah.
Good stuff. Thanks, Paul, for covering that. And yes, interested to see how the tie is going to work next week and see if we can all bounce back, right?
That's right.
All right, guys.
I was over 500. So I can only go down. I can only go down the fucking hill from here.
Hey, so before we close the podcast, another breaking thing. The Dolphins scored again
against
the Broncos.
They played when I was watching that game, all I could think of was the Benny Hill song coming in my head. And that's all I could think about because they were chasing around Tyreek Hill and the rest of the Dolphins like Benny Hill would chase around those white girls.
Nah, it was all good. But I did hear Dane Lewis at the game in the Miami Dolphins jersey. So
the Dolphins should have brought in Ray Finkel to kick a field goal. Because that would have made it more comedic as if they would have brought him out.
No, better yet, they should have just brought in Jim Carrey to run around the field.
Oh, brother.
All right. I'm going to go listen to some more country. Remember, my team getting beat by 50 points. All right, guys. Make sure y'all stay tuned for next week. Me, Paul, Kevin, be back at it.
You can listen to some Jimmy Buffett.
Exactly. So give him Twitter at name. Kev, give him your Etsy.
You want to know why I said Jimmy Buffett? Because he's about as dead as so is the Broncos playoff chances.
Oh, man. Get him out. Get him out.
It was too soon.
Get him out.
He didn't deserve that.
I shouldn't have used Jimmy Buffett's name in vain.
Yeah.
He didn't deserve it. What did Jimmy Buffett do to you, man? He didn't do that.
Man, caught a stray for the Broncos' sake.
Yeah.
Give me your ass name, Kev.
What is he going to do? He's dead.
Oh, God.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. God damn it. Kevin C, 2415.
Mr. Mac.
The_Paul_Mac on X.
You can find me at In the Mind of CP. You can go to also our Twitter page at BLC Podcast. We're also on Instagram at BIOC Podcast. You can go to our Anchor, which is also our Spotify channel, anchor.fm/Cortez.Paul. You can also go to buymeacoffee.com/4/BIOC Podcast. We're also on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, iHeart, Spreaker, Windows, Google Play, Google Podcasts, Anchor, Spotify, or as Kevin like to say,
wherever you listened to us before, just go back also, there again.
I learned yesterday Google Podcasts is dead, so don't go there.
No.
All right. So I need to update my distro list right here. Fantastic.
Well, anyways, a nice little link tree in the show notes for you. Make it easy for you.
Absolutely. So yeah, Paul did do that. Thank you, Paul, for updating our link tree. Fantastic stuff. So once again, guys, thank you again for listening, supporting the podcast. We appreciate you taking the time listening on this Wednesday evening.
It'll be Thursday by the time all this shit gets over with.
Exactly. So speaking for Paul, Matt, Kevin Carter, this is Cortez Paul, Balls Not Court Podcast. Enjoy the rest of your evening, guys.
The Dolphins did it again. Oh.
Pang.